You might say in some ways tonight's lesson is a continuation of this morning's lesson. You know, so many times we find ourselves trying to wonder which way to go and what to do, and especially when it comes to spiritual matters. Jeremiah said in chapter 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own ways. What Jeremiah was talking about is that one of the unique things about the human being is that we do not operate on instinct. We do not instinctively know what we are supposed to do. Everything else in God's creation certainly does. Certainly that's true in the botanical realm. It's true also in the with animals. Nobody teaches a fish what it's supposed to do. Why are there different fish that do different things? Why are there different animals that do different things? Why is it that a baby snake knows exactly what it's supposed to do from the moment it hatches out of the egg? Or a chicken, or a lot of other things. But especially a snake and those things that are in the lizard realm, they don't hang around with their parents to be taught, you know, what to do and how to live. They just go off and do what they were created to do, and that's all they do. They don't think about doing something else. It's instinct. Instinctively in them. Now we've noticed over the last several lessons that the whole purpose of man is to revere God and to keep his commandments. We do not instinctively know that. We can look at creation and design, and if we'll think about it, we'll realize, well, because there's all of this design and everything works so perfectly together, there must of a necessity be a designer. And if all of creation and everything in creation fulfills its created purpose, then what's my created purpose? That's the question we ask ourselves. Why am I here? It's not instinctively in us. It must be revealed to us. It must be taught to us by God. And that's why we have his word. And the sooner we recognize this, then the better off we're going to be. The sooner we recognize it and humble ourselves before God to do his will, the happier our lives will be. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Inevitably, when we do the things that seem right to us, as we study the Word of God, we find out that those things are actually a transgression of the will of God. Along with that, Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, Paul said, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not know. Think about that a little bit. You think about our society today and all of the different standards of good and how that all of these standards of good compete with each other. They can't all be good when they are diametrically opposed to each other. So it's not up to us to establish what is good and to promote what is good. It's up to us to humble ourselves before God, to go to his word, to study it, to read it, to meditate on it, and most importantly, to practice it. And so, Psalm 73 and verse 24 says, you, speaking to God, you will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Proverbs 19 and verses 20 through 21 says, listen to the counsel and receive instruction. that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. We might have many plans and many thoughts and many perceptions within ourselves as to what we think or what we feel is right, but it's God's counsel that is right. It's God's counsel that will stand, and it's God's counsel and His word by which we will be judged. And so we want to look at being guided by God's counsel tonight. Have you ever went to somebody for counseling? Maybe you were in school at one time and you had an idea of what vocation you wanted to go into, and so you went to one of your guidance counselors to say, what courses should I be taking? And especially when you get to college, finding your way through the curriculum as to the fact that you'll have taken all of the necessary courses to graduate with the degree that you want. That is really quite a science in and of itself, I found out. So it's necessary we realize that when there are things that we don't know and we're trying to learn our way through it, it's good that we can go to somebody who does know and receive counseling from them. God says, come to me. Come to me. I know. And I can teach you. And my counsel will stand. Psalm 23, very familiar psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You're familiar with that. Part of that, verse 3, he says, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So the counsel of God is righteousness. And He teaches us righteousness so that we might be righteous. But notice also He says that we might be righteous for His name's sake, to His praise, to His glory, because He is righteous. We're to reflect His righteousness by the life that we live. So why should we seek God's counsel? Revelation 3 and verse 18, Jesus said, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Notice, we are to seek God's counsel, first of all, that we might be rich spiritually. We are to seek God's counsel that we might be pure spiritually. I counsel you to buy from me white garments, not soiled garments, but white garments. And the idea there is the idea of purity. I counsel you, he says, that we might be clothed spiritually, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. You ever had that dream? That for whatever reason you find yourself on Main Street without any clothes on. And you're ashamed of that. You want to cover up your nakedness, don't you? There's some things that are personal that you don't want other people to know, even though we're all the same. We don't really look that much different. We haven't done that much different than anybody else have done. But the things that are secret to us, we want to keep secret. But they're not secret to God. God says your nakedness needs to be covered. He taught us that with Adam and Eve from the garden. Adam and Eve were suddenly aware of the fact that they were naked, and they tried to cover up their nakedness. And I don't know if they thought they covered it up or not, but God said, that's not sufficient. What you've covered up is not enough to cover up. So He provided for them what they needed to keep from being naked. Sometimes we think that we've covered up our shame. But the shame that is professed today and celebrated today should never be even named in the presence of God. I counsel you that you may be clothed, that your shame should be covered up. Galatians 3 and verses 26 through 27 says, "You are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." We've talked about the necessity of baptism. There are many religious bodies today who teach that baptism isn't necessary for salvation. That's not what the Word of God teaches us. And the Word of God teaches us in many different ways, trying to show us the importance of baptism and how it's absolutely necessary. And here, it uses the illustration of clothing. We are baptized into Christ to put on Christ, to cover our nakedness, to cover our shame, if you want to think of it that way. Think about that. When you're naked, home, and you're naked and so forth, you know, maybe you're comfortable in it. I'm not real comfortable in it. But, you know, if somebody was coming to the door or something like that, you wouldn't be comfortable in it. You feel vulnerable, don't you? Why do you put clothes on? You know, say, well, I put clothes on so they cover my nakedness. But we've got all kinds of different clothing, don't we? I do. I've got clothing that I might lounge around in. I've got clothing that, you know, go to town in. I've got clothing that I work in. I've got clothing that I hunt in. I've got clothing for hot weather. I've got clothing for cold weather. Our clothing is like a tool. It's very, very useful to us. But be baptized into Christ and put on Christ. And Jesus covers all of our needs. Jesus prepares us for everything. He prepares us for study, for coming into the presence of Almighty God in prayer. He prepares us for times that are easy, and He prepares us for times that are difficult and hard. When we wear Christ, we are fully protected. So if we haven't been baptized into Christ, we have not put on Christ. I counsel you to buy me white garments that you may be clothed. We're to be purified. How do your garments get white? Well, we wash them, don't we? And what do we do when we're baptized? We wash away our sins. Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias told Saul, "Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, appealing to the authority of He who is Lord." Just like Prophet Joshua had said, you know, "He who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Luke 7 and verse 30, he says, "The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by Him." What was the evidence of their rejection? They were not baptized. Have you been baptized of Him? How does the Lord look at that? How does the Lord look at someone who says, "Well, I don't think I need to be baptized to be saved"? The same way He looked at the Pharisees and the lawyers. You've rejected Him. You've rejected His instruction. You've rejected His orders. You've rejected the necessity of having your sins washed away and putting on Christ. So when people look at you, they're impressed with Christ. They're impressed with your... When you wear your clothing, you are projecting a style one way or another The Christian's style, the Christian's projection of style is to be that of Christ, of righteousness, of purity. We should seek God's counsel that we may see spiritually. He says that you may see. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Remember the blind man that Jesus said that Jesus made mud, basically, put it on the man's eyes, said, go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. And he did. And he washed it away and he could see. He did what God told him to do. He did what Jesus told him to do. Isn't that the same with us when Jesus says, I've come that you might have life, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Except you repent, you will perish. If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. He that is baptized will be saved. Can you see the same process? Go and wash. The same instructions in parallel there. And we say, well, I believe, but I just don't believe I have to be baptized. Well, the Lord said you do. We need to seek God's counsel that we are going to see the truth. And that we are going to see all things that have been revealed that He wants us to see so that we will be all He created us to be. When we are guided by God's counsel, what will we have? Well, one thing, we'll have freedom. In John 8, verses 31 through 32, a passage we mention quite often, often in closing of our services, Jesus said to those who believed on Him, if you abide in My word, if you continue to live in My word, you are My disciples indeed. You are My true disciple. A disciple is a learner. What are the disciples to be learning? They're to be learning God's Word. They're to be learning His instruction. If we are learning His instruction, then we are His true, we are His genuine disciples. And you will know the truth. If you continue in My Word, you will know the truth. And if you know the truth, you will be free. The truth will make you free. What is the source of truth? It all goes back to His Word and abiding in His Word. So what will we have if we are guided by the counsel of God? We will have freedom. We will have peace. In John 14, in verses 26 through 27, Jesus told the apostles, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as this world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If we are abiding in the counsel of God's word, we have nothing to be afraid of. But if we are rejecting His counsel, if we know what the Bible says, if we know what the doctrine of Christ teaches us, and we say, well, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to live that way, we better be afraid. There better not be any peace in your heart. Peace comes when we hear Him, believe Him, trust Him, and obey Him, and live for Him. In chapter 16 of John, in verse 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, speaking to the apostles again, that in Me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yes, we can all acknowledge that in the world and in this life, we have tribulation. This past weekend has been just one example of the tribulation that we can experience in this life. But those of us who are in Christ, that even in times of great concern, even when you can look at the radar and you can say, this thing is coming right smack dab at us. And you're in your closet or your basement or wherever you might be. You're trying to seek safety, but you're still at peace with God. You're experiencing tribulation, maybe in your health, maybe in your relationships, maybe in your finances, but you can be at peace knowing that you have put on Christ and that He lives in you through His Word. When we are guided by God's counsel, we have an inheritance from God. In Ephesians 1 and verse 18, he says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Well, what do you see? You can have a glimpse of heaven. You can see righteousness. You can look to the glory that God has for you here and hereafter. We have that glory then. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "But may the God of all grace, who has called us to His eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." We've been studying 1 Peter in our adult Bible study, and we've noticed that throughout this letter, that the primary thing that's on Peter's mind and that he wants to share with the brethren of that day and time, as well as with the brethren throughout the ages, is that life is full of sufferings, different sufferings. And there was one particular suffering that he had in mind, and the great persecution that was going to come against the church, that did come against the church at the hands of the Roman Empire. But it will continue to come against those who name the name of Christ, who turn away from the world. But he says, "But God called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus." Don't focus on the sufferings. Focus on the glory. In Psalm 73 and verse 24, he says, "You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." What will we have if we listen to the counsel of God, if we put into practice the counsel of God? You know, just like your guidance counselor who says, "Well, these are the courses you need to take, and this is when you need to take them, and this is when you need to complete them. And, you know, if you want to graduate at this particular time, you follow that counsel and complete those courses, you will have your degree." But if you say, "Well, I know I should be taking this course this quarter, but I'm really kind of interested over here in this course. Doesn't have anything to do with my degree, but I'm just kind of interested in that." Okay. How long is it going to take you to get a degree? It's going to cost you a lot more money and a lot more time. Listen to the counsel of those who know what they're talking about, and you'll get to the goals that you're seeking. Do you know the right goal to seek? You know, there's the main thing. So many people don't know the right goal to seek. It's not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Sometimes we have to, somebody has to turn the light bulb on for us. Yep, there's a designer. And I can see his design in all of creation, and that all of creation fulfills its intended design. But I don't even know what my design is. But, yep, God can teach me what my design is, what my purpose is, and how to attain it. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Can you say amen to that? Are you going to be like the Pharisees and the lawyers and reject the counsel of God and refuse to be baptized and refuse to live for Him, refuse to live to His glory? Or are you going to follow His counsel and have the freedom from your sins and peace with God, a guaranteed inheritance from God into eternal glory? If you're here tonight and subject to the invitation of Christ, we'd encourage you to let it be known. Let us assist you in your obedience to Him this very evening. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?